my dear brothers and sisters. First, I think I would like to express my appreciation to this fine family, Sister Niver and her children, for inviting me to participate in these services today to say a few words. And I would like to say to Sister Niver that I think it was wonderful that she had Brother Neumeyer from Salt Lake speak today. I talked with he and his wife before the services. I think it was wonderful, and I'm glad that he was able to come and to speak. During these services, I put several cards in my pocket I had arranged or thought I would speak about. I realized that many speakers and time is flying by, and some of these things I will not mention. Just one thought I read the other day that I would like to bring to you, that in this day and age of the world, most people believe that life continues on after death. And that even back many years ago, when one of the early presidents of our country, John Quincy Adams, was asked this question to show how confident he was that life went on after death, he was asked, and I shall read it, "How are you, Mr. Adams?" And this is what he said. He said, "John Quincy Adams himself is well. Quite well, sir. Why, thank you. But the house in which he lives at present is becoming dilapidated. It is tottering upon its foundations. Time and the seasons have nearly destroyed it. The roof is pretty well worn out. Its walls are much shattered, and it trembles with every wind. The old tenement is becoming almost uninhabitable. And I think John Quincy Adams will soon have to move out. But he himself is quite well. Quite well, thank you." Now, of course, naturally, we are here today to pay tributes of respect to our departed brother and also to his family that he has left. If I was summing up a tribute and a compliment to pay to Brother Niver and his wonderful wife, Sister Sophie Niver, I would say that it is in the great family that they have raised and that bears their name, these sons and daughters also. Wonderful people. You know, there was a time, I think our daughter married into this family, Lila, married Bruce, I believe the first marriage in Darrell and Sophie's family. And we became intimately acquainted with Darrell and Sister Niver and these boys and girls. And I thought there was a time when I thought that maybe they were just showing special courtesies to us, that they were so gentle and so polite and kind-hearted and had such lovable characteristics. And I thought, well, it's just to us. But as time went on, I discovered that that was the nature of these boys and these girls. As I say, no greater compliment that I could think of that I could pay to you, Sister Niver, and to your fine husband, than this: you have raised a noble family, wonderful men and wonderful women. My wife and I were saying not long ago that we have heard Lila pay so many compliments about these people that I wondered if they weren't almost perfect. And I said to Lila the other day, I said, "I never heard you," and this, however, has since Brother Darrell passed away. I said, she was to our home and stayed last night. I said, "Lila, I've never heard you say anything bad, negative about any one of those boys or those girls or Darrell or Sister Niver." She said, "I never had, Dad. I don't know what I could say that would be negative." She has said so many compliments about these wonderful girls, June and Afton and Joyce, and these boys. You know, these boys worked partnerships for a number of years, and that's dangerous in most instances, usually ends up in loss of love and respect. This didn't happen with these boys. They stayed together as long as they thought it was wise because of their growing families, and then dissolved partnerships and divided up in an equitable way, and every one of them would have taken what the other took. It didn't make any difference. I know that men sometimes are accused of being a little hard and callous. Daryl probably was a typical man in that respect. But I remember when Mac and Bruce and these other boys were in the service, and when some of them, especially Mac and Bruce, had close calls on their lives, I visited with them in their home along with my wife. And I remember when Mac, with the Marines, stormed this island of Tarawa, I think that's the way you pronounce it, Mac. This island was supposed to have been softened up by artillery from the naval boats and heavy guns, and also by the plane bombardments. This was not sufficient, however, and the enemy was entrenched terrifically. And when these boys stormed off from these landing barges through the water onto the island, they met a withering fire, I guess. No greater fire from an enemy an army ever met than these Marines. And Mac was wounded. And the word came that he was missing in action. And I heard Daryl say, he said, if I could get that boy home, safe, I'd give everything I have. As has been stated by these boys and by others who have spoken, he loved his family. And he was true to them. Sister Narver said yesterday, I don't know whether she wanted me to mention this or not, but I just overheard her say this. She said, Daryl taught his boys and girls a lesson of life by example, honesty. He lived by it. He taught his boys and his girls to live by it. And they do live by it. And Sister Niver, my, what a wonderful woman. Brother Neumeyer spoke of her sterling qualities. I could say amen. I was almost overcome as I listened. Leaving her home almost an outcast when she accepted the gospel, came to this country for more peace of mind and to worship as she wanted and as she could. And I think she has been directed by the Lord, and I know that her reward is sure. She is one of the Lord's chosen daughters, along with her good husband. Now, for a moment, I just wanted to tell you a little more history than maybe some of you had never heard of before. I had not heard of it. Our daughter, Lila, has a history of the progenitors of Brother Daryl. And it's almost like a fairy tale. It's fantastic. He was born, his great-grandfather, the first, and his great-grandmother, the first Jews to join the church. Now, I don't know whether you folks knew that these people were Jewish, one of God's chosen races, and there are not too many in the church today. Brother Darrell's great-grandfather and his wife were the first Jews to join the church. I know of a number of Jews in the church today. Jewish people, wonderful people. I don't know of any in the church that are not wonderful people of this nationality. When Brother Alexander Niver, the great-grandfather of Daryl, left his native country, France, and went to England, he was a highly educated man. He was a man who spent his time with books, studying. He was a doctor. He was a dentist. And he had, in according to this story of his life, he'd had a dream that the true church was not upon the earth and that he would hear it from two missionaries. He lived in England at this time, and his good wife was a very frugal housekeeper. On the front of the house, those who could afford it, and by the way, he was a wealthy man, a very wealthy man. And they had marble footsteps and plates in front of their front room door. And each morning, Sister Alexander Niebuhr went out onto the front of the house and polished these up with dust cloths, and when it was necessary, mopped. So the story goes that you could see your face in this beautiful stone, marble. And one morning she heard one of the neighbors say, there are two missionaries in town. They call themselves Mormons. They claim that there is a prophet at the head of their church, and that angels have appeared to him, and that God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ appeared to him and brought back the gospel in its fullness and its purity. And Brother Alexander Niebuhr was in his room upstairs, and he overheard this, and he sprang from his bed. He was in tune with this thing. It was what he had dreamed about, or maybe he had received a vision, I don't know. But he had heard this, and he was in tune with it, and he dashed down as quick as he could, jerk off his pajamas and throw part of his clothing on to hear more about it. And when the message, he went to where these young men were and heard the message, accepted it wholeheartedly, joined the church, emigrated to the States, and joined with the prophet in Illinois. And, as I say, the first Jewish people to come into the church and then follow the church on to Utah. Lost practically all of his financial holdings through their moving back and forth and giving to the prophet and to the church. This man taught the prophet in the school of the prophets three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and French. You knew that the prophet spoke other languages. This is where he learned these three languages from the great-grandfather of Darrell Niebuhr. These boys and these girls have a tremendous heritage, brothers and sisters. It isn't just an ordinary heritage. Sister Niebuhr comes through a royal lineage also. It's wonderful. Now, I think I wouldn't have to give this advice, but in closing, I think I will. You remember at the crucifixion of the Savior, the most agonizing pain and suffering that anyone ever was called to go through, the Savior himself went through. As he hung upon the cross with nails in his wrists, and to make it so that they wouldn't tear through in that hot sunshine day, nails in his ankles to help take the weight off. Think of it. I shudder when I even think about it. And just before the end, he said to his mother, woman, behold thy son. And he didn't say many words. Either it was the custom and they would understand, or he was under such excruciating pain that he couldn't say more. And then he continued, son, behold thy mother, speaking to John, the beloved apostle. Now this is what he meant in our vernacular, our language. Mother, you depend on John. You let him do the worrying for you. You let him take off from your shoulders these things that cause you stress and strain and worry. And John, you take care of mother. You look out for her. Now, I don't need to say that to these sons and these sons-in-law, because I know them. They'll look after their mother. There'll be nothing left unturned for her comfort and her pleasure that they won't want to do for her. But she's a self-made woman. She doesn't want to be waited on too much. But they will take care of this. Now may the Lord bless and sustain this wonderful family, especially Sister Niebuhr. May the Lord bless her. She's come a long way from her girlhood days in Switzerland, and some of the road has been pretty rocky. But the Lord will be kind and good to her. She has earned a great reward. And soon she will meet with her fine husband and her family that she hasn't seen for many, many years. And all of us will be there sooner or later. None of us miss this thing called death. It's as natural as birth. It follows birth, just as the setting of the sun follows the rising of the sun. May the Lord bless this wonderful family and all of us, that we might keep the commandments of the Lord and be prepared to meet our Maker when the time comes. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.